It's now time for On the Line with Cheryl Wilkerson. The conversation will range from local dialogue to international. This show is meant to enlighten, inform, and to inspire. On the Line with Cheryl Wilkerson begins now.
Hello and welcome to On the Line. I'm your host, Cheryl Wilkerson. Thank you for joining me on this Sunday morning. You know, this show gives me the opportunity to bring you some people in the community that are doing some great things. We talk about topics sometimes, yeah, but sometimes we have people on to tell us about some of the great things that are going on in Hampton Roads. So this Sunday, that's exactly what we are going to do. Talk to a young lady that's doing big things in Hampton Roads. We're so happy to have her. We welcome to the show today the CEO of the YMCA of Hampton Roads. Her name is Michelle Ellis Young. Now, you may have heard that name recently a lot because, man, she's just racking up awards all over the place and being noticed and recognized for her work. So welcome to On the Line.
Thank you, Cheryl, and thanks for allowing us to come into the space as YWCA Southampton Roads. We're happy to be here.
Well, first of all, tell me, what is it like? What is it like to be a remarkable woman?
Oh, my goodness.
So you were recently chosen by a local
title. Breathing is great, right? But to be recognized for the work that's been done, not just in this season, but over time, is just a true honor. And I'm filled with gratitude. And thanks to our partners over at Wavy for the recognition.
All right. Well, you know, there are a whole lot of people doing a whole lot of things, and for them to signal you out, to find you, to acknowledge your work, that means, like I said, that you are doing some great things. So congratulations on that. I love it.
Thank you, my sister.
All right. So let's talk about what is going on. First, let's start with the mission. What is the mission of the YMCA?
So we are the YWCA, where we say the W makes the difference.
And you know what? My notes say W, and I'm looking at W, and I guess I'm turning it upside down. You're exactly right. YWCA. Mm-hmm.
Another great organization, but our focus really here at YWCA is to eliminate racism, empower women, and promote peace, justice, freedom, and dignity for all. And we've been doing that work here in the Hampton Roads community for 115 years, believe it or not. Mm. Where we're providing critical services for those that are experiencing imminent danger due to domestic violence, sexual assault, intimate partner violence, and then our work that spans the other portion of our mission, which is the intersection of our work, which is racial and social justice and gender equity.
But how do you get all of that done? Just taking one of those topics seems like it would be overwhelming to me. How do you get all of this done?
Well, I am glad you recognize that, because I say often that we are literally 8 to 9 nonprofits rolled up in
mm-hmm.
one.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we really think about the work that we approach, it is through that intersectional lens, you know, because a large portion of our work is centered on providing relief and safety for those that are in domestic violence situations. However, the startling, the unfortunate part of that work is that most of the clients that we are servicing are Black and brown folk, primarily Black women. And so when we talk about eliminating racism and empowering women, we have to approach this through an intersectional lens that looks at all of the root causes that causes someone to experience this type of violence, and in some cases, generational violence.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we help break those cycles, rebuild, and so that individuals can move to a level of self-sufficiency and resilience that meets their needs to change the trajectory of their families?
When you're speaking of domestic violence, I don't know how you would go about that, because to me, and I need you, the professional, to correct me, but to me, if you have someone that's being abused some kind of way, you've got to get their mind out of that mindset, but you've mm-hmm. got to at the same time let them know that these were choices that you made. I made a choice to be with this person. Now, you may not have known when you made that choice that this person was going to be violent, but it's all about one's choices without them feeling like you're blaming the victim. Does that make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying?
It does. It does. And it's a question that many people grapple with if they've not experienced it, mm-hmm. either in a lived experience being personal mm-hmm. or have witnessed it. And so it's the natural question is, why won't you just leave? You know, people make choices. Unfortunately, people are people. And in the pandemic world we live in, people are peopling all the time, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so when someone is in a situation, we don't know why they have rested there, but we don't sit in a seat of judgment. We
Correct.
Sit in a seat of empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
We sit in a seat of support to let them know that there is a different way of living. And so, you know, it's like being transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We have to renew minds every single day to show people that there is care, there is hope, and there is better for your life. And so when we can sit with people in their pain and help them to navigate
right.
using the tools that we have, the resources we have, and walk the journey with them, sometimes the light bulb says, ah, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times it's the navigation of a trusting system. Remember I said primarily these are black women we're servicing. We do service men as well. But they've already had erosion of trust in many facets of systems. And so we're walking with them in restoring their hope that the system can benefit them to get to a level of safety and security in community.
So they might say, okay, I know this isn't the best situation where I'm being abused, but at least the rent is being paid, as opposed
well,
to if I go out here and I say, I'm not going to let you do this to me anymore, and I do something different, then, you know, how am I struggling to pay my rent? Is that it?
Well, people will make choices based on what choices they need to make for themselves. And so if someone should make the choice to say, I'm going to stay because the rent is being paid, hopefully they have made contact with us that we can at least give them some tools to work with, that if and when they decide to leave, they know that we are here. We are here to support. We're here to navigate, and we're here to help them to restore a life that they have not known, or to move into another level of the life that they have known. If
mm-hmm.
that makes sense.
Okay. Okay.
And so when someone is sitting in a situation, you know, we don't know why.
Yeah,
and that's their personal, you know, that's their personal choice. But what we want to do is bring about awareness and education that you don't have to sit in that alone. You don't have to sit in it forever. And there are many organizations like YWCA Southampton Roads that are there 24/7, 365 a year to walk hand in hand with you in this journey.
Gotcha. Yeah. So what you all are doing, it's like you have to be called to do it, because everybody doesn't have the education to do it. Everybody wouldn't have the patience to do it. You know, what you're doing, that's called.
It's an assignment, and, you know, it's not just my assignment, but it's a team of individuals here, our team members, that are assigned to care and support this community. Unfortunately, people don't call us until they need us. We want to change the trajectory of that we have education and outreach that is so widespread in community that we're on the prevention side of the work versus the intervention side of the work, because my desire is that I can walk into my office one day and say, well, team, that's it. Let's all go find a new job, because we've solved two of the world's problems, violence and racism.
Okay, if you are just joining us, I am talking to Michelle Ellis Young. Now, she's the CEO of the YWCA right here in Hampton Roads. Now, Ms. Michelle, how are we going to eliminate racism? Let's tackle that one.
How are we going to eliminate racism? We may never eliminate racism, but we can educate communities that will eventually cause the tide to turn. We're experiencing astronomical disenfranchisement of the efforts of anti-racism work, of DEI work, of diversity, equity, inclusion, justice, and belonging type of work. And so every day we strive to ensure that we are brightening the corner where we are to heighten awareness about those issues that plague our communities across Hampton Roads, but also across this country that impact us here. And so while, you know, it feels like it's a daunting mission to say, eliminating racism. We stand as the YWCA both nationally and worldwide to say that we make a bold declaration that every day when we show up, this is our goal, is to eliminate racism. Will we see it in my lifetime or your lifetime, Cheryl? I don't know. But it does not mean that we don't do that work because someone has to own it.
So we have to fight the fight. Because we don't
absolutely have to.
Okay. Okay. And when people come to you and they say, they may say, Miss Michelle, I went to go buy a $90,000 car and they wouldn't even talk to me when I went through the car dealership door. They just looked at me like I didn't belong in there. Is that racism, or what would be your response, or how would you advise the person to handle that?
Well, I wish that were some of the issues that we were getting that simple.
You say it's not that at all.
But it's not that simple, Cheryl. But if someone were experiencing a prejudice of some sort, I can't say that that is racism, but there certainly appear to be some levels of bias or prejudice that are in a situation like that, because if you approach a certain establishment, maybe you're dressed a certain way, you look a certain way, people make judgment based upon what they see. And so if someone were in a situation that were really that simple, it's a matter of going back to the dealership or going, I always say solve the problem at the problem level first. Mm-hmm. And if you can't solve it at that level, then you start to look at what are the escalation paths of that situation. And quite frankly, we live in a technologically advanced world. If that had happened to someone at a dealership, trust and believe, by the time they sat in the seat of their car, it's already posted online that they went to ABC dealership and this is how they were treated. And people start to say, I went there too. And if we can see that there is a pattern of a problem that is escalated, that community becomes aware. Not every fight is our fight, but every person is our responsibility to be able to care for. So we will try to work with that person to triage a situation as best we can.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense. That makes complete sense. You also talk about empowering women. And we hear a lot of that today. There's so many women's conferences that people can go to now. There's so many people that talk about self-care days. Usually I see it geared towards women. Do women need all of this attention?
They absolutely do. And I say that in sitting in my being as a woman, I say it sitting in my position as the leader of the oldest and largest women's organization in the world. I say that as a mother of four daughters. And I say that based on the experience I just had of going to Hollywood to represent this area for WAVY, for Remarkable Women. Women need support. The world is heavy, always has been. And if it had not been for women, many movements in this country would not have happened. You know, we look at what happened in the days of slavery. It was the women who were taking care of the homes and ensuring and instilling hope and being that martyr and supporter. When we look at the women's rights movement, it was women who were raising their voices collectively, black, brown, and white and other, to say that we're taking a strong stance against the inequities that face us. When we look at the civil rights movement, we hear a a lot about the leaders of the movement, such as Dr. King, but if it had not been for the women, the movement would not have been. As a matter of fact, the movement would not have started if it were not for Claudette Colvin or a Rosa Parks that sat on buses at 15 and at 20-something years of
age. Miss Irene Morgan,
Okay. When we look at our churches are flipped upside down. Most are led by men, but 65 to 70% of the congregants, particularly in the black church, are who? They are women. And so when we talk about empowering women, we have to be concerned about the care and well-being of women, not just mentally, not just emotionally, not just spiritually, but we have to be concerned about them financially as well. Because if it had not been for the women, where would we be?
And this question you maybe can answer. I don't know. I'm just sitting here thinking as I'm listening to you speak. And so now I hear all of these phrases, self-care, I hear empower women, I see more and more women's conferences. But the women back in the day that you just referred to, those ancestors, those elders, was there some form of self-care? How did they keep it together? Were they supporting one another? Did they keep it together in some way we didn't realize? Or were they just strong individually and made it work?
Yes, and, right? They were strong individuals because they were forced to be strong individuals. And in being strong individuals, they also had community, which is something that we've kind of lack a little bit sometimes because we've, you know, moved ourselves out of the nucleus of our communities that were for us and, you know, because we've made it, right? Mm-hmm. But if you think about the communities that were set up, they were shared communities, you know, when you didn't have, I had, and we shared. And that was our way of being able to maintain normalcy, support, care, build culture, and build our community, even in the midst of adversity that may have been faced. And then there was also that care and gratitude that, that women in community back then shared because there was commonality in the lived experience of our womanhood, right? And you think about it. These were, when I think about our ancestors, I think about people who were just most resilient, not because they were asked to be, but because they had to be. But they were resilient because they created whatever the need was for their families and for their communities. And so, you know, we talk a lot about women and entrepreneurship now. But guess what? They were entrepreneurs way back then. Way back then, they didn't have a title, but they had skills and they had gifts that they could lend that would galvanize community to be productive and well-resourced for itself. And so when we think about what empowering women looks like today, it's all of that stuff in the 21st century that gets scaled for the greatness of our families and for the communities that we live in.
I could listen to you and talk to you all day long if you're just joining the program. I am talking to Michelle Ellis Young. She is the CEO of the YWCA right here in Hampton Roads. Tell us about any upcoming events that you have going on.
Oh, excited, excited. So May will be my third year here with YWCA Southampton Roads. And a portion of coming here was really to look at us holistically through the lens of our mission. So I talk a lot about leaning into the fullness of our mission. And one of those areas where we were just kind of tiptoeing was the eliminating racism piece. Well, we've taken the bull by the horn as it relates to all of the work that we do in our equity and justice department. And so 3 years ago, I conceptualized this conference. It's called Conference on REST, R-E-S-T, Racial Equity and Social Transformation. And this conference really is used as a training ground for those that are looking for more to look at and lean into what it really means to live in an anti-racist community where equity and justice is centered for all people, where our workforce is thriving because of that diversity of thought and of people. Mm-hmm. And so we're excited to be in partnership with Norfolk State University's Center for African American Public Policy to join forces on June 5th at 8:30 at the campus of Norfolk State University for our third annual conference, where we will center the theme, We the People. Very excited about that, because it looks at the most used document, one of the most used documents that guides decisions for this country, the Constitution of the United States. Yet, it left out in its creation two groups of people, women and black folk. And so we are centering, yeah, what would it look like if the Constitution were a whole document where all people were, the liberty and justice we seek were indeed for all people. And so Delegate Glass will be our guest speaker. Mm-hmm. Excited about her, because she really understands the intersection of our work through her lived experience. We have sessions that will be set up all day that lean into this theme. Of course, in good Juneteenth style, because that's our part of experiencing Juneteenth, is the education through this conference. You know, we have a little party in the middle, too, to break the monotony of the heaviness of inequity work and injustice work. And so we have fun, and you might see some line dancing taking place. And who knows, we give away stuff as well. So we invite community to come out through partnership and or sponsorship, because it's a great time to develop community, develop your workforce, and lean into the most pressing issues for our community.
That, I think, is brilliant, because so many times we hear people say, oh, we weren't even considered when the Constitution was written up. Mm-hmm. But we don't take that conversation further and say, well, what would it look like as your conference will dissect? I like that. I like that.
Yeah. Well, we have our team is working very hard to bring yet another fantastic experience that is educational. And, you know, the intention is that this conference is around Juneteenth, because we don't believe that our portion to the experience of Juneteenth is, you know, cookouts in the park and that type of thing. Not that I knock those things, but we truly have to bring education and wisdom to our community, so that people in our workplaces, people in our nonprofits, and people in community, whether they're, you know, in church or wherever that is, have informed information to make intelligent decisions that guide the people that they are entrusted to steward.
That will work. And you brought up something that I think about often. Well, when we think about, say, Martin Luther King Jr. Day or whatever, I think society is kind of trying to move it away from so much commercialism, and they'll say, you know, it's a day on a service. But we need to do that with more things, I think. You know, it just can't be Hallmark greeting cards and cookouts. We have to, mm-hmm, like you said, put that educational point in there, or else our children won't know the story. They won't know the struggle. They won't know the achievements. They won't know the joy. They won't know the successes, you know?
Absolutely. And you know, we're in a press time right now where there's an attack on all of this work. And so,
yes,
we have a responsibility to make sure we uplift what the struggle was, but also how do we come through the struggle, right? Mm-hmm. What are the things that we need to be intentionally and intently focused on in order to not repeat the history that was given to us, but to recreate the history that we know we are destined to be a part of. So we have a part as black and brown folk to play in righting wrongs, but we also need our colleagues out there,
yes,
who are not black and brown to raise their hands, to show up in these spaces, to gain this knowledge, because it's not about oppression. We've been through that already.
Mm-hmm.
We're on the side of progression, and what does that look like?
And, you know, I could talk to you all day. You have hit that dead on the head. I don't care which side of the fight you're on, but when we have people that are sitting in places that take away the rights of women. Women, they've had these rights for 50 years, and they just go in there and just wipe it off the books. That should open the eyes of black, brown, pink, purple, white, everybody's eyes, you know?
Yeah, you know, and we talk about this a lot. You know, don't center the thought that Roe v. Wade was just about abortion.
Right.
That is a portion of it, but it's about civil rights and civil liberties and the repealing and overturning of everything that is connected to legislation. So when we start with one piece, just rest assured that is not the only thing that the attack is after, when the attackers are after. And so, you know, another piece of our work, even in this conference, the conference on rest, is intently focused on galvanization of Get Out the Vote, our GOTV efforts, and what that looks like across community throughout the year for us. So we don't just focus on that work of going out to vote when it's election time. That is an ongoing programmatic piece of who we are, because the issues never stop. And so we need to be informed, we need to be educated, and we need to help people to activate, to understand what's going on in our legislation.
That is so well said. I am speaking with the CEO of the YWCA of Hampton Roads. Her name is Michelle Ellis Young. She is a remarkable woman, and I told you that at the beginning of the show. And after listening to her, I'm sure you would agree with me, as well as Wavy TV 10, who gave her that honor. So once again, tell everybody about the conference, who can come, what they should do, all that good stuff.
Well, it's the Conference on Rest, Racial Equity, and Social Transformation, and this is what we call the ultimate Juneteenth experience this year. It's June 5th, 2024, on the campus of Norfolk State University, and you just need to go to our website, which is ywca-shr.org for your registration and or sponsorship. You can give us a call at 757-625-4248. And I would be remiss if we didn't give out that crisis hotline for those that may be experiencing that intimate partner violence and or domestic violence. Call us any time of the day, night. That's 757-251-0144. But come on out for rest, because we the people will be in action, and we are looking forward to embracing our community as we fight the good fight, and as our good brother said to us, make some good trouble.
Make some, you know, I have a sweatshirt with that on, and my daughter got me, and I wear that thing proudly. I do. All right, Miss Michelle, you are A1 on my list. I am wishing you the most successful conference ever, and
Thank you.
Mother of four daughters. That's a nation right there.
Yes, it is, and a powerful one.
That's a nation. I love it. What are their ages?
32, 28, 24, and 22.
You have done that. I am just in awe of you, just over this telephone conversation, okay? So we will have to meet up again.
I will come through
for rest and see what you all are talking about coming up in June. And just thank you for taking out the time to join me today on the line. I appreciate your time so very much.
Well, Cheryl, thank you. And thank you for all that you continue to do to uplift community. We appreciate you as well.
All right. Take care. Have a wonderful Sunday. And we'll talk again soon, okay?
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. Man,
bye-bye.
She was powerful. I want to thank you all for listening today. I just get so inspired when I talk to you all. And I just want you to have a great Sunday. Like I said, Cheryl Wilkerson checking out right now. As I always say, behold the green and gold. You all take care.